Right now, the quickest and easiest way to a greener yard is by way of the Home Depot, where Vigoro Southern Weed and Feed is now 10% off. Vigoro's proven formula not only greens in 72 hours, it kills over 35 types of local weeds. Your grass could soon be a lot greener, and at 10% off, so could your wallet. Get growing with Vigoro Southern Weed and Feed, now 10% off, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer valid February 1st to March 28th. Selection varies by store.
Okay, children, we're done with the alphabet. Next subject, financial well-being. How to manage your money. Turn to page 5 of your textbook.
When it comes to money, you can never start learning too early. That's why starting today, State Farm wants to give you the tools and support you need to take control of your finances.
Tonight, read the chapters on credit cards and balance transfers. Pop quiz tomorrow.
Find out more at letstarttoday.com. State Farm, here to help life go right.
The Public Radio Network, we are going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about, first of all, the terrible school shooting that happened in Florida by an assailant who, by all means, should have already been in jail. Somebody that should never have had guns. And this has sparked, of course, another debate between the divided society of the gun owners and the gun wannabes and the gun you don't want to have and the gun I don't want you to have, whatever, man. I love it when people say assault weapon, because as a gun owner, I know that any weapon you use to assault somebody is an assault weapon. You know what? I could assault somebody with a carrot and it's an assault weapon. So, but the media loves to describe things like that. It's an assault weapon, and here's our focus, and this is the agenda. Take guns away from honest people so the cripples will only have guns. And I was in a conversation with someone the other day, an extreme liberal. You know, it's like, I'd be happy if all the guns were illegal. And I'm like, so you're saying that you only want criminals to have guns? And she's like, well, I didn't say that. I said, you did say that, because if you make guns illegal, good people out there will not have a gun. The criminals out there, there's illegal guns and there's lots of illegal guns. Oh, and she's like, well, things that are illegal, you know, aren't around. They're not available. I'm like heroin? Really? Is that why so many people are dying? Or you know, I mean, like, I could sit here all day and list illegal things that are readily available to people who go looking for it. But how about this? You ring the school alarm, you're sitting there in a truck, and you drive over 100 people, you know? So one or the other, you have to stop the crazy maniac from turning into the bogey who's going to take out innocent people. By making gun laws, it doesn't do that. It does not do that. And this guy was mentally ill, is mentally ill. He's saying that demons told him to do it. He's telling the police. And that there's a lot of people in the paranormal community like, woo, demons, you know? So it's like that. People are only divided, but they're breathing all kinds of stuff into this sick maniac. And then how he killed 17 people, injured 14 more. The FBI knew about him. People called complaint lines. The school knew he was a threat. They banned him from the campus. They kicked him out of school. He threatened people to kill people with guns. All the kids knew it. This guy didn't just slip through the cracks. This guy slipped through the politically correct cracks. Do you understand that? The school, for not calling the police department, the local authorities, whether that be state police or the sheriff or whatever they got, and reporting this sick maniac for making death threats against children in a school, and he was a known gun owner, right? His personal life, nothing but turmoil. Father dies of a heart attack. Mother dies of pneumonia just a few months ago, back in November, right? The kid's rattled, not getting help. He's crazy to begin with, you know? So there's all kinds of stuff coming out about this individual. But I'm going to say the FBI does not impress me anymore in the United States. There is just too much corruption, too much dumbfummery, too much failure So I don't know what the answer is for the FBI. I used to hold them in high regard. There's a few agencies I look at, like the U.S. Marshals Service, that I feel like those people have so much integrity and they're so sharp and they're out there helping others because they're taking the crap off the street. Literally protecting you, right? The FBI, not so much. We've heard about the FBI investigating terrorists before they commit these horrible acts of terror in California, in Florida. They sit there and do nothing. You know, so we can go back in time and talk about FBI failure. But in this case, this guy was on YouTube making threats against people. He told his classmates, those kids reported him. He was reported to hotlines, all of that, nothing. So he shows up with a rifle, with magazines, and smoke grenades in the vest and whatever. And then he annihilates a bunch of people, pulls the fire alarm. He planned it. He knew what he was doing. It's all premeditated. Got demons telling him how to do it and to do it, whatever. So I will say this. We live in a country. This, you guys here in the United States, because this, my audience is all over the world. And a lot of you in a lot of countries don't understand the whole U.S. gun law thing, right? And I, you know, I have friends in Australia and the whole bit, and they always try to compare themselves to the U.S. You can't do it. We're different. Our demographics are different. Our population is different. You know, it's a whole different mentality from one end to the other, right? It's apples to oranges. But this is the deal. In the United States, and since Hollywood is based in the U.S., you know, all these gaming companies and all that, mainly based in the U.S., we are in a culture of violence and violent behavior. There are video games that reward you for beating people, raping women, killing, committing horrible acts of murder, dismembering people. Now, back in the day when I used to play video games, man, as Mario, you know, doing, 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 you collect the coins, you jump on a mushroom, doing, 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 doing. You didn't hack people into pieces. You didn't tie women up and rape them and get rewarded for it. So people let their little children play these horrible games. A lot of these first-person shooter murder games were invented by the military. When you go into the military, oddly enough, the controller that they use to control drones and weapons and whatever is based on the Xbox controller. Isn't that funny? It's not funny because it shows a connected history of feeding somebody on violence, then now they're capable of doing that violence. And because of all of this and this real-time simulated murder, they have been desensitized by these images over time. Them, the friends, the people, they all play together. It's not like games used to be back in the day. Things have changed, and they've changed for the worse. What happens when you look at these music videos, right? All this gangster stuff, you know, hip-hop, big time. I'm not going to slam the hip-hop world, though, because there's also good hip-hop. It's literally a battle of good and evil, isn't it? And that's kind of how it goes. And there's evil out there that gets glorified, makes it appealing, makes people want to go to it and embrace it. So, but this is present in our world. There's a gang culture out there. There's a murder culture out there. And you have legions of people, young people, that have been desensitized to violence. This has been going on for a long time. You know, I crusaded about this back in the 90s with my television show, you know, and I was questioning why nudity is so bad and violence is so good. Because I can sit down in the afternoon and plunk on the TV and watch some horrific movie with somebody getting cut to pieces, get their heads cut off or whatever. But I can't sit down and watch a pair of boobs unless you have some special channel that you pay for. But the violence is out there. There is a momentum to this evil. There's a momentum to it. And then now you see this monster come out. 19 years old. Florida has the death penalty. He's being charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder, not including 14 other assaults, not including all the other stuff they want to charge him with. Right? It's a series of felonies. So he'll fry. He'll get the electric chair. But the guy's in dreamland. You can see it in his face. You can see it in his eyes. He's in dreamland. Because when they glorify school shooters, and they do, the media does, it's weird, right? You would think that the average person would look at this and be horrified. Like, oh my God, this is horrible. We have to stop this from happening. Then you look for clues and answers and how you could do it. Mass shooting, you got to stop it from happening, okay? Sure. I don't know how that compares to dropping a bomb on some innocent family having a wedding in Afghanistan and wiping them all out. Women, children, babies, dead is dead to me. Mass shooting, dropping a bomb. We could talk about that all day long. But people like to label and classify things. Granted, it's not a war. But to these individuals who are doing it, it is a war. And when these people are crazy and screwed up to begin with, and then they see other school shootings, they get into that. It turns them on. It makes them want that spotlight. The media focuses on them. You know, it's a big deal. Some states don't have the death penalty. These people end up hanging out. They live their lives in prison, right? And then there's people out there that will glorify them. There's people out there that are into people like Jeffrey Dahmer, who ate people, killed them and ate them, was eventually killed in jail by the relatives of somebody that he ate. It's sick-minded. It's evil. There's evil out there. Evil is out there. And what we need to do as a society is, number one, identify it. Number two, get rid of it as best to our abilities, or contain it as best to our abilities. And number three, you make sure that when someone's spouting off they're going to kill a bunch of people, you tell the police. Don't leave it up to chance. Don't feel bad about reporting that to the police, because these people are sick-minded. You're going to go into a school or an office and shoot a bunch of people? You know, there's too much of it. And then you get the agenda. You know, so you have a tragedy, 17 people dead, 14 injured, the town, the state of Florida, the whole country, the morale, the heartfelt sorrow from the world, really. You have the anti-gun people jump on the bandwagon. They use these instances to push their agenda. They don't wait. There's no time. They just do it, right? Then you get the media. The media out there, I'm going to lump them all together, is inherently evil. They like to race bait. They like to divide. They like to control. They want to control what your thoughts are, what your opinion is, Eric, they want you to repeat what they say. And people do to a degree. Look at those kids in the shooting. This kid's under a desk. This guy's shooting. There's media people contacting them, interviewing them under a desk. How do you feel right now? How do I feel right now? I just pooped my pants. There's a maniac shooting his gun. You ask me how I feel right now. You want me to give you my idea of the perfect Sunday? Yeah, you start having like, hi, how you doing? There's a mass shooter in your school. I go, yeah, yeah. Ask me about my idea for a perfect Sunday. Got ice cream and bananas and some chocolate sauce. Are you all right, son? Yeah, I'm fine. You guys going to be done shooting in a minute. Really? And this is the media can justify it. You know why? Because they don't care. They don't care. And we live in this world now. So I was watching the sheriff of the county talk, and man, he laid it on the line for people. And he grew up in that place. He said that, you know, that high school, eight out of 10 vehicles had a gun rack and a gun. They used to go hunting after school, shooting, target shooting. They had a shooting club in the school. He said the guns haven't changed, the people changed. And that's deep, man. That's damn right. The people have changed. But why? Why did the people change? How did the people change? Progress. Was it progress? What changed within these young people's lives now, this generation, or the generations? This sheriff was older than me, so a couple generations, right? What's changed? And he cited those things that I cited, you know, violent video games, violent movies. And it's not just violent, you know? It's not just violent. It's the direction of the violence. It's the intention of the violence. It's the context. The context. And you can glorify basically anything. And people do sell. They want to sell it, right? Hate and murder, wholesale. Wholesale. So it's kind of funny. I want you all to stand back from Hollywood for a minute. This is the big box that makes these movies, right? Hollywood. We'll just say Hollywood across the board. Now, these are the most self-righteous people you'll ever meet in your lives. They railed against Trump supporters, calling people who voted for Trump, Klansmen, Nazis, all these terrible things, right? Then they're exposed. Sexual stuff, rape, drugs, sex trafficking, even murder. Lots of murder in Hollywood. So, if you're looking at this objectively, is this the moral fiber of the United States and or the world that you should be following? People who are clearly evil, right? I mean, if you're talking about murder, sex trafficking, and drug trafficking, all these terrible things, all this prostitution, forced prostitution, whatever, I'm going to say evil. That's evil. It's evil stuff. You know? Nothing good to come from it. So all the big producers who produce these movies, Quentin Tarantino and Harvey Weinstein, all these people who talk all this smack about being liberal and, you know, this is the stuff. Look at what they do. You are what you do. Look at the agenda that they're pushing. These are evil people pushing an evil agenda. So I'm going to let you think about that for a minute, because it's Hollywood and all these media companies, there's only five people that own all these media companies, 99% of all the media companies in the U.S. And they're all either related or interconnected. They control what you see. They control the very data that gets floated out there, right in front of you, on your TV, in your movies, all this intent, all the stuff they say, right? All the bullcrap, because there's a lot of bullcrap. Which leads me to Black Panther, this movie. So for a few weeks now, a month, whatever it's been, there's been a lot of hype about Black Panther. Okay, looks pretty cool. Dude looks pretty cool. I like Panthers and all that. I'm not a Marvel comic guy. I was never really into comics. Only comics I've ever read in my life were like, what was it? Garfield, Peanuts, especially Peanuts. You know, stuff like that. But I'm not really into Superman, superheroes, all that. Right? But Black Panther apparently is one of those superheroes. That's cool. People who like the whole superhero thing will like that part of it. So I'm watching, you know, blurbs from the media, this, that, and the other thing, these ads coming out. Basically, I mean, those guys, CNN said, if you don't go see this movie, you're a racist. I'm like, what? If you don't go see this movie, you're a racist. And that hits home for me. That hit me because of something that happened to me in the seventh grade. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But so I'm watching all the hype. And then, you know, black actor, big black cast, black. You know, and then comparing the movie to, this wasn't even out yet. Comparing the movie to Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr., I'm like, how are you going to compare a movie to civil rights heroes? People who actually motivated or made people think or did something important, real people, compared to some stupid movie, you know? It's a Hollywood poop fest. It's a movie. They're not concerned. They're not concerned with floating some kind of positive message about the movie. They're mostly black cast and black actor, black. So my racist, like, bone in my body that detects racism starts vibrating. And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like the whole, what they're saying about it. It's black exploitation or black exploitation. There was movies all through the 70s that were black exploitation movies, you know, where they pulled the same stuff, targeting a group and then shaming the other group if they don't go see it. If you're white and you don't go see the Black Panther, you're racist. That's CNN right there. That's MSNBC. That's what they're, because they get a war on white. They're white and they have a war on white. It's fun to me when I hear these old rich white guys talk about racism. I'm like, what the F they know about racism, these guys? They go back to their ivory castle, you know? They don't know anything about nothing. And then you can start talking about Native Americans all day long, too, because talk about getting the shaft. Black people are brought here against their will. They got the shaft. Native Americans are already here. They got the shaft and raped and murdered and whatever. So, yeah, we could talk about that, too, all day long. So, Black Panther, if you didn't, I'll tell you this, man. My favorite comedian is Dave Chappelle. I think Dave Chappelle is probably the funniest guy in the world. You know, second behind him is Chris Rock. Now, I don't look at them as black comedians. I look at them as comedians. I don't say, yeah, Dave Chappelle, I love him. He's my favorite black comedian. Or he's that black comedian, you know, he's my favorite. So why they need to throw the word black in? And if you turn the tables and it was an all-white cast and white, and whiteness, and white this, and white that, and white. People will be outraged. They'd be like, oh my God, that's so racist. How could you do that? So if you're not going to do it for that, you don't do it for anybody. Because you're just targeting, you're targeting a group. I'm in Ithaca, New York, and there's this guy that came up here from the city to open up a club, right? And I knew some people who knew him, and we ended up connecting, you know, and just hanging out. He was picking my brain of what's in the area. And he got, you know, 30-some thousand college students here, Cornell University, Ithaca College, right? So he was going to have, I said, you know, you should have a night, you know, for like an alternative night, you know, gay, lesbian type of thing, because there was, you know, there's a big scene. And Ithaca's got a lot of lesbians, man. There's a big scene, and there's not a lot of places for people to go who want to go to those places, right? So he's like, okay, we'll have gay night, you know, Tuesday night's gay night. I'm like, you can't call it gay night. I mean, it sounds kind of brash, gay night, you know? And it's kind of like when you're focusing on different groups, you lose sight of other people. So, and definitely, I know gay guys who went to gay clubs because they didn't want to go to normal clubs or straight clubs or whatever you want to call them because they're looking for gay guys. You go to a straight club, there's going to be all kinds of straight guys there. They don't want to be hit on by a bunch of guys. So that's why there's a gay club to begin with, you know? So I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. I used to hang out at a black club in New York City called Sweetwaters. Great club. And my friends had, and the people had bands that played there frequently. So I'd go see them. And yeah, I was the odd man out in a place like that. But you know what? No one ever talked trash to me. No one ever told me to leave. No one ever used any racism against me or something like that. I've had that from NYPD. You know, when I used to hang out in Far Rockaway with a whole bunch of friends who happened to be black, the cops would say, hey, white guy, come here. A white guy. They wanted to know what I was doing in that neighborhood. Isn't that crazy? White cops say, hey, white guy, come here. So I'll tell you about my incident in seventh grade with his teacher, Artie Mandel, who now is head of admissions for Hofstra University, interestingly enough. And I don't hate him. So if you're out there, don't be like all hating on people. Yeah, I don't hate the guy. I hold him in high regard. I still think he's one of my best teachers. And I more liked what kind of person he was rather than what he was teaching necessarily, because he was laid back. And the male figures in my life were at that point were very destructive and very, very much screwed up, you know what I mean? So, but I like this guy. It was seventh grade, so I was 12 years old, right? 11, 12. So, there was this Broadway show. The guy was real liberal. He's from California, total liberal, big time. There's a Broadway show called Ain't Misbehaving, right? And it was expensive, you know, like when you went to Broadway shows, I mean, you know, my mom was a single mom. She worked as an executive secretary, which didn't make a ton of money. And we're talking about, you know, like 1979, right? 78, 79, we're in that area. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of extra money laying around. My father owned a gas station. He didn't give my mom any money. You know, he didn't live with us, and he was what he was, right? I'm giving you guys a window inside of Angley right now. But so we had what we had, and you live within your means, and that's life, you know. But this trip came up, and it was $50 per head. So each kid had to cough up $50 to go see this play. Now, under normal circumstances, if you had said to me, and I've seen Broadway shows, obviously, I've seen tons of stuff. My mom used to take us in to see the shows and whatever. You know, saw Grease with a school class. That was cool, all that. But this particular show, you know, at that time, she just couldn't come up with the $50. Pretty simple. And I understood. I was a kid. I understood. So, you know, when it came to all these permission slips, he's like, where is yours? I said, well, I can't go. And I didn't tell him why. I just said I couldn't go, yeah. So he's like, ugh. Looked at me all disgusted. He's like, ugh. He's like, you don't want to go. I said, no, I would go. And I didn't really want to tell him because I was embarrassed, you know. But I said, I can't go. He's like, you're a racist. And then I can't tell you the sick feeling I had in my stomach by this guy judging me like that and saying that to me, you know, especially since I liked the person. You know, nasty comments from somebody that you don't like don't really matter because they are what they are. You got to take things from where they come. But if you like someone and then they do that to you, it's like a dagger in your heart, right? So I felt real bad about it. I still didn't tell him. And I'll tell you to this day, if somebody had said, hey, want to go see 8 Misbehaving? We're gonna, of course. You get out of school for the day. You're on a bus with your friends. You get to go in the city. You get to go see the play. You know what? It was a money thing. And sometimes people just don't have the money for stuff. You know, but people get judged by all different types of ways and means. And it was just something that stood out in my mind for years, obviously, since I'm still talking about it. When I heard the CNN guy say, if you don't go see Black Panther, you're a racist, that brought that memory out right there in my face. I'm like, man, it didn't hurt me because I hate CNN. You know, of course they're going to think ill of everybody. They're crazy. They're maniacal. You ever listen to what they say? CNN's not like it was when Ted Turner started. CNN has morphed into this disgusting crap pit of a toilet bowl that doesn't get flushed. People on there are horrible. They're just anti everything, man. And man, oh man, the stuff that comes out of their mouths is shameful, shameful. And I'm not gonna let Fox off the hook either. Fox is the other end, you know. It's the other side of the coin. So. Racist for not going to see a movie? How about you don't want to go see the movie because you don't want to go see the movie? So one of my friends I was talking to earlier went to see this movie. He's a black guy. And then we're talking about this on Facebook earlier, and I posted a thing about how I felt that I feel like the media and Hollywood and all that are exploiting people about this movie that's all about making money. Rosa Parks and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., you got to compare the movie against those people? I was offended, and I don't get offended. But I was offended because of that stuff that happened to me in the seventh grade. Because I know what it feels like to be called a racist and wrongfully called a racist. You know? Especially by a white guy. Call me racist? I'm part Native American. That's got to count for something. You know what I mean? My Indian name is Howling Coyote. That's got to count for something. My people were screwed, man. Damn it. Doesn't matter. I got blue eyes and white skin. You know? I'm more Indian than Elizabeth Warren. But, I was offended because I'm a caring person. And I just think that with all this rhetoric out there and all this hate and all this division, you know, here comes just another example of it. So my friend who saw the movie said, he's like, you know what? It had no racial ties to any black people in America, about anything going on, about nothing. She's like, so I don't even know why. He's like, I don't even know why they sold the movie like that. Like, you know, it's all about whatever, being black. He said they filmed it on a fake, in his words, a fake ass African set. He said, so then I was like, well, how was the movie? He's like, oh, it was all right. He gave it a 6.8 out of a 10. So that, to me, that's a little better than all right. 6.8 out of a 10. And then, but I don't know. If you want to go see a movie, go see a movie. If you don't want to go see a movie, don't go see a movie. If you're a kid and you don't have the $50 to go see a Broadway show, you're not going to see that Broadway show. It'll make you a freaking racist. It makes you a poor kid. That's what it does. And then to be called out and kicked because of it, kicked while you're down. That is ugly. And I will never forget about that feeling in all my life. So whenever people use the word racist, you better use it wisely, because there is racism out there. There's a ton of hate out there, a ton of it. I was watching the Dukes of Hazzard. So the Dukes of Hazzard, there's a Dukes of Hazzard movie, and I don't go to movies, so I'm not even going to see this. That's the funny part. I don't like movie theaters, you know? I'm sensitive to being around a bunch of people. You know what I mean? It's just not me. I don't like crowds. I don't like waiting in line. I don't like, I don't know. People say that everybody's on their cell phones now and whatever. And also movie theaters are like real loud. You can't control the volume. You can't whatever. I don't know. I just don't like the whole thing. The only thing I like about movie theaters, and this is sick and disgusting, is the smell of the popcorn in the air. That's it. I don't want to eat it because I know what's in it. I just like it. All right, that's me. So I don't go to movies. Last movie I saw was Fast and Furious 4 or 5, and I only did that for somebody else, and it was way too loud and obnoxious. And I was rooting for the bad guy the whole time. And before that, the last movie I saw was either Star Wars or Smokey and the Bandit. It was back in the late 70s. That's got to tell you. And I've been to drive-ins, but I never actually got to see the movie in the drive-in. So anyway, that's the deal with these things, these movies, or whatever. It's not like... it's not going to heal the problems of the world. And then they sell it like that. And it's just about selling their Pepsi or Coca-Cola, whatever the hell they're selling, whatever product they're trying to sell. Because that's what it's all about. It's product. And then when it comes to Hollywood, they're going to talk all that crap. They don't care about the homeless problem there locally in California or the rest of the country. They don't care about the ills of society or horrible poverty. People living in terrible ghettos or horrible situations make their lives better? Nope. No solutions there. They're happy to keep people divided, because then they put stuff like this out. They shame people into going to see their movie. Instead of advertising, it's about shame. And there's tons of movies that feature both white and black people that are great movies that, you know, what difference does it make? But why put the emphasis on black when the only thing black about the movies are the actors, and then you're using them? You're using them. You're exploiting black people by doing that. You're being racist by black, 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 black. Just saying that if someone doesn't see the movie who is not black, they are racist, is racist. So I think that we need some responsibility here from Hollywood. I think that we need some people to come out and actually say these things without being afraid. Because, man, when you put something out on Facebook like that, you get attacked by white people. You know? To be called a racist by some old white man, old rich white people. You're a racist. The hell do you know about racism? I've experienced it, and I've got lots of friends that have experienced it. I've experienced it with them next to me as they've experienced it. Yeah? But whatever changes, man, you know, whatever changes. You know what? Nothing. Because Coca-Cola is still for sale. Pepsi's still for sale. And that's what it is. And that's what makes this music. That's what makes these movies. You see in the news how Unilever, which spends over $9 billion a year here in the U.S., because they are not a U.S. company, they're a Dutch company, Unilever. They make things like Lipton soup and, you know, whatever, Knorr's soup, things like that, Dove soap. That's Unilever, right? Big, huge company. Food, beauty products, all that. So now they're telling Facebook and Google and all that that they have to watch their ads. And then they don't want fake news. They don't want fake ads and all that, or divisive language. Divisive language. And it's interesting how they appointed a gatekeeper to work with these companies, and they're going to pull their advertising if these companies, you know, don't do what they want them to do. They're the gatekeepers. But what does that mean for you and your free speech? So you don't have free speech because Unilever doesn't want their version of divisive language, whatever that is, whatever fake news is, as according to them. But they didn't tell ABC and CBS and MSNBC and all these other companies. They didn't tell them that. Only Facebook, Google, who has YouTube. And I will agree that YouTube puts up terrorist videos and terrible things that shouldn't be going on. They need to suss it out better and stop it from happening, right? And they can. But to have a company, a corporation that's not an American corporation especially, but it doesn't matter if it was any corporation, to tell companies that float content, and I'll say that because, you know, Google doesn't really create a lot of content. Facebook doesn't create any content except ads. So to have these companies do that, and what they're doing is they're acting as a conduit for your content, for what you want to say, what you want to put up there, right? And then this Unilever is going to supersede the U.S. Constitution when it comes to free speech and tell these companies, we don't like that divisive language. We don't like that fake news. We're going to pull our ads. We're going to basically threaten. And these companies should all turn their backs on them and say, okay, screw off, Unilever. We're not going to advertise your crappy soup. Who the hell eats Lipton soup anymore anyway? Dove soap gives me a rash. I don't want to use that stuff. And this is the problem when companies get, one, too big. Number two, doesn't understand the rules that you don't interfere with people's rights. But the gatekeeper and all that, I've been through that before. Been through it with Time Warner back in the day with my television show, where this manager decided he didn't like what I was saying. The DA didn't like it either, who said that he found me to be personally lewd, crude, obnoxious, and obscene. The late Republican George Dantes. And I fought them in one. I fought them all in one. Phil Smith, the general manager for Time Warner, they put him in some little office in the middle of nowhere by Corning, New York. He went from Ithaca to Corning. No man's land. George Dantes died. I don't mean to laugh, but the guy was well hated. He had a lot of bad. You know what? The guy had a lot of bad energy to begin with, and he came after me. That was his. That was a wrong move. He was just a horrible person. He did terrible things to people, and he was the DA in the county for 16 years. Yeah, terrible. But I've never known of anyone that if they died and you told someone, hey, so-and-so died, they're like, yeah, good. Except for this guy. Because there's a lot of people that don't like him. Anyway, but I won. I won my court case because they charged me with obscenity in the third degree because he found me to be lewd, crude, obnoxious, and obscene. He didn't like what I was doing and saying, and I was on a crusade against violence. He didn't like what I was doing or saying and took it upon himself as DA to come after me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to protest violence. I'm going to protest violence with nudity. I took clips off the Playboy channel and re-aired it and say, here, there you go. Put some tits in your face. Yep. It was that way. And I won the trial. The jury was, afterwards, when the jury got interviewed by CNN and all these muckety-mucks, Fox News hanging around, they were like, we didn't see anything wrong with what Michael Angley did. It was hard for them to find a jury because people knew the case. They knew what was going on. It was well publicized. I fought them. I fought the city of Ithaca. I fought the county of Tompkins County. I fought the DA. I fought Time Warner. And I won. Made them all look like a bunch of idiots. And that's what you got to do in this world. You've got to fight for what you believe in. And you got to fight hard. And you got to win. And it's that simple. And it doesn't matter who it is or what it is. If they're wrong, you got to go after them and hold them accountable. And I will leave you guys with that. This is Michael Angley on Michael Angley Live. And who the hell knows what's going to happen this week? Man, oh man, things are getting crazy and crazy and crazier. Especially with Robert Mueller and Hillary Clinton, that she might be charged because of Christopher Steele and all that. We didn't even get into that. So, we'll get that. I'll talk about that next week. This is Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Paz Christian, saying good night.
Right now, the quickest and easiest way to a greener yard is by way of the Home Depot, where Vigoro Southern Weed and Feed is now 10% off. Vigoro's proven formula not only greens in 72 hours, it kills over 35 types of local weeds. Your grass could soon be a lot greener, and at 10% off, so could your wallet. Get growing with Vigoro Southern Weed and Feed, now 10% off, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer valid February 1st to March 28th. Selection varies by store.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, you can get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend Premium battery. Its superior durability, capacity, and power make it the obvious choice for people who hate getting stranded by a dead car battery. So pretty much everyone. The Napa Legend Premium battery and $20 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 2/28/18.